from the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is STRAT, Strategic Risk Assessment Talk. Now, retired Marine Intelligence Officer and globally recognized risk expert, Hal Kempfer.
Welcome to STRAT, Strategic Risk Assessment Talk. Hal Kempfer here, and I'm going to talk to you about something I've alluded to and talked a little bit about some of the other podcasts. I think the last podcast, actually, but I'm going to really get into it more. I have talked about this on the air on multiple television networks. I've talked about it in other mediums as well, and that is about flamingos. No, not the pink birds. Flamingo cruise missiles. This is a homegrown cruise missile created by the Ukrainians in cooperation with some assistance from Denmark and doing some really creative things. And it is, I hate to use this term because I think it's so overworked, but it is potentially a game-changing weapon system. And I'll explain why. And the reason I hate that word is because I find that game changers rarely ever game changers. But this one could really change one part of the war, and that is, and I think it's one of the most important parts, bringing the war home to the Russian people. Bringing the war home to the Russians in a way that they have not seen, even with the drone strikes in Moscow and up north around St. Petersburg, even in a way that did not bring it home, because these are cruise missiles. It's a different type of weapon system. They're not low and they're not slow moving drones. They're fast moving. They're low flying. And I'm going to explain what this is. And there's been a lot of publicity out there on the Tomahawks. I'm going to get into what this is and why I think it's so important. So let's talk about flamingos over Russia and what I consider, and this is something very recent, just since really mid-August or latter August, this is what I would call a missile milestone, if you will, in terms of what it's doing here. So let's talk about the Flamingo. This month, October, going in November, Ukraine is reportedly producing about 7 to 9, probably closer to 7, but maybe up to 9. I've even heard 10 referenced once or twice, of these Flamingo cruise missiles per day. All right. Now, if it's 7, you got 30 days, that equals out to 210. If it's 9, obviously that's much more. I have heard that their goal was to get about 270 to 290 of these things produced. I don't know if they made that benchmark yet, but that's still a lot of cruise missiles that they're producing. And these are homegrown cruise missiles. Now, they're said to produce what they call full production somewhere around February or March. And I'm not sure what that will be, but I would guess it'd be about 10 plus per day would be full production. And I don't know if it'd get up to 20 per day, but there's just a lot of things that depends upon to get to those levels. Now, the FP Flamingo cruise missile is developed by a firm called Firepoint, and it's reportedly kind of entered into serial production, if you want to call it that, around mid-August of this year. And at that point, they weren't producing that many. I think they were doing about 3 to 4 a day, and now they're doing about double that. So, but they're really moving along with this quickly. It has a range of about 3,000 kilometers. That's a lot of range. Yes, and if you're doing the map thing, you're looking at way the heck north, well north, pretty much almost all of European Russia, and you're into part of Asian Russia, you know, east of the Ural Mountains, to give you an idea of just how much range that has. Now, if they produce about 210 units this month or 210 missiles this month, that's a lot of capability. And it's a lot of capability when you look at the amount of Russian infrastructure that they want to hit, that they have been trying to hit, and I think they're going to be able to hit it more. Now, it's a long-range weapon. It's capable of delivering a significant payload. I'm going to get into that, what it is. And it's at a distance that, frankly, none of the current systems have been able to do before. Now, their missile systems, you're really in the area of maybe the long-range drones, but even then, this is something that moves a heck of a lot faster, all right? Now, Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, announced this production had begun, and describe this as truly the most successful missile they have so far. And I say this because I've been very impressed with their Neptune missiles, which they have adapted for land use, but they have used to great effect on the water. And so when they say it's the most successful missile, those are not idle words. They are in the missile business. They are in the missile building business. And whereas part of this missile is produced out of the country, about 90% of the final assembly is actually done in Ukraine, just to give you an idea. Now, in September 2025, or last September, which is last month, the Danish government announced that a subsidiary of Firepoint will start production of solid rocket fuel for the Flamingo in Denmark. All right. And this is going to kick off here in about a month, 1 December, when that will start. And then Denmark, as part of this, suspended about 20 laws and regulations just to get this plant open. Denmark's a small country. I used to live in Denmark. You know, I went to the University of Copenhagen, and I will tell you that they don't have a large population. They don't have a huge economy, but they have really been doing a lot to assist Ukraine and all of its stuff. Now, Firepoint has purchased a large number of the Lajanko AI-25s from various stockpiles. Now, these are engines, okay, that have a flight time about 10 hours, all right? Now, they are not going to be used for the full 10 hours. They don't have to fly that far. Obviously, you're doing the math. You're going, all right, so if they're flying about 400, 500 miles an hour, blah, 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 you start working the math. You go, well, why would they need all that? They don't need to fly that far. So what they're doing is they're breaking them into components that they can use to get more out of them in that regard. And they restore them to full usage, but just enough to basically address the Flamingo's flight time requirements. And the Flamingos are going to fly maybe about 3.5 hours at most. All right. So now the Flamingos have a rich pool of these engines to pull from. There are thousands of these engines in all over Ukraine. This is a Cold War legacy thing, that these engines are basically in landfills. So the Ukrainians are out there digging in these landfills, pulling out these engines, cleaning them up, retrofitting them, doing a few more things to lessen the flight time to fit what they need with this. And so they have a lot of these engines, and it's like, wow, pulling engines from landfills. Yeah, but pardon the expression, the engines are dirt cheap. Because, frankly, they're pulling off landfills, so they're not having to pay huge bucks. And that is really one of the big things with these Flamingo missiles, is it's an incredibly cost-effective way of doing it. Now, it helps keep the cost down to do this with all these thousands of engines that they have out there, and they have other engines, they have other things that they can bring in, that they bring from jet trainers and stuff that they can buy from other countries. There's a couple of jet trainer birds out there. I believe it's the L8 jet trainer that they can also use. And those are found throughout Asia and in Africa. And there's ways that they can get those up to Ukraine and use those as well. So there's a lot of these things that are out there for them to do this. Now, the current warhead is said to pierce thick concrete. It can go about 10 meters underground. That's about 30 feet. That's what you call a huge bunker buster, all right? There is a cluster warhead that works with it as well. That's a cluster bomb thing that drops a lot of smaller bombs and stuff, so you can use it for airfield attacks or to use it for broad coverage attacks. Say it if you want to hit an industrial facility, or you want to hit a drone manufacturing plant, or you want to hit an airfield or something like that. So they have those capabilities, and they're looking at using these at targets all across Russia. Right now, the cost per missile is about $500,000, about $500,000 each. That compares to a U.S. Tomahawk missile, which is pretty much roughly equivalent in some ways, which is about $1.5 to $2 million. And, you know, there's a couple of things. Number one is President Trump has not sent any Tomahawks over to Ukraine. He threatened to send Tomahawks to Ukraine, but then he backed off of that. So there aren't any Tomahawks going over there. And they were hoping to get some Tomahawks promised, you know, this month, but it just didn't happen. But this is happening on the side, which is these Flamingo missiles are being pushed out. And frankly, all I heard was about 200 Tomahawks. Well, they produce more than that, enough Flamingos already to meet that requirement. So the Tomahawks are important. I think they could make a big difference, particularly against very tough to hit targets. But it's not like the Ukrainians are left completely cold because they've got this own capability to do this stuff. And so they can replicate it. And by the way, with the money coming in for the Europeans, that's money that's being pumped into the Ukrainian economy. For the Europeans, particularly the Scandinavians, that's money that's being pumped into the Danish economy. So there's a lot of reasons why they would like using these Flamingo missiles. I'm not saying they don't want the Tomahawks. I'm not saying they couldn't use the Tomahawks to great effect. But I do think these missiles are making a big, big impact in terms of what they are, pun intended, of course. So what does this mean? About 80 to 90% of the Russian infrastructure that Ukraine may want to target is within range of these Flamingo cruise missiles. Russia has about 38 to 39, I think, depending on where to find it, major oil refineries. So you just start doing the math, you go, okay. Both Moscow, St. Petersburg, well within range. All right. One of the great problems that Russia has is its over-reliance on rail. It's almost like looking at an early 20th century model, if you will, like pre-World War I. They never built out this major road network like the interstate freeway system like you see in the U.S. or the autobahns or freeways that you see in Europe. They rely heavily on rail, and that rail is absolutely critical. Well, rail is also a kind of single point of failure, if you will, if you have precision, long-range, deep penetration type weapons like a Flamingo cruise missile. There's a lot of things you can do to mess up those proverbial lines of communication in that supply chain or production system, getting their stuff to the front lines or getting anything else just moving around. It's possible that the Flamingo could be used to take out or eliminate key production facilities for drones and missiles. That's been talked about a lot. I think that's going to happen. Also, the weapons can threaten about 90% of Russia's arms manufacturing capability as well. So as you can see right away, this Flamingo cruise missile can do a lot of things that could really upset Russia's military industrial capability within the country, but also hit those major urban population centers. And from a political standpoint, put some precision munitions or precision effects in places like Moscow and St. Petersburg, where that urban elite, those oligarchs, everything else, where they live and where they operate, and maybe change the mental math on how they see this war. All right. Now, we talked about oil refineries, energy targets, stuff like that. And they have talked about already, Firepoint has talked about that the missiles are partly responsible for airport closures and the high gasoline prices that are currently in Russia. As of a few weeks ago, people were lining up around blocks in downtown Moscow and St. Petersburg to get gasoline. And on the black market, gas was selling for over $9 a gallon. So that gives you an idea of the effects these things have had and the effects that they're going to have. Now, they have a 1,150-kilogram warhead. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of firepower. That's much more than what you see on your typical drone. So when these things hit, it's not just the range. It's not just the precision. It's the amount of catastrophic effects that they have on those targets that really make a big difference. Now, the command centers and other strategic infrastructure are now opened up in a way that they weren't opened up before. And you can see it. Some of these things could even be bunkers, if you will, and the Flamingos could go in there and do something with them. Now, we're seeing this. Reports are already that out that they say, and I kind of question the math on this. I've heard that they've stockpiled hundreds of Flamingos. I saw one thing saying that there's a rumor they stockpiled over 500 Flamingos. If they have, they've been keeping the production numbers deliberately low. And there might be a very good reason for that, operational security reason, to make it look like they're producing less Flamingos than they are. And if there are 500 Flamingos, I'm kind of wondering what the scenario is that they plan to roll these things out and start hitting targets. I'm wondering if there's going to be some massive Flamingo strike, you know, Flamingos flying across the Russian homeland in a mass assault. I'm just wondering what the plan is there. But the bottom line is they do have a lot of Flamingos. And I would say I would not be surprised if they have somewhere between 300 to 500 accumulated by now. So in summation, what I'm saying is the FP5 Flamingo It's a Ukrainian ground-launched cruise missile. It's developed by a defense firm called Farpoint. It's got a 1,150-kilogram warhead. It's got a range of 3,000 kilometers, which is about just a little shy of 2,000 miles. It's very similar to some of the other cruise missiles we've seen around the world. It's not identical to the Tomahawk, but it has many capabilities similar to the Tomahawk, all right? And it's going to change the deep strike capabilities of Ukraine in this war. It's going to bring home this war to the Russian people in ways that they haven't seen. It's going to be hitting targets that previously weren't being hit. You know, Putin kind of opened this up. He attacked the minister's building in Kyiv. Normally, you don't do that in war because you don't want to destroy the other side's command and control like that because you may have to deal with them. But he did that, which means, parity speaking, that if Ukraine want to attack buildings within the walls of the Kremlin, they could probably do that and say, well, quid pro quo, you know. Now, I don't know if the Ukrainians are going to do that. I do know the Ukrainians much, much earlier in the war actually had a long-range drone that exploded over the Kremlin, and that was a wake-up call for the Kremlin. They moved a ton of air defense assets around Moscow as a result of that one drone getting through. And that has changed the way that they deal with any events in Moscow because they're afraid of potential drone strikes. So that's a big deal. Now, could Russia's annual Victory Day parade in May be something different? I don't know. May's a long way off. And I'm thinking about this Victory Day parade. I'm kind of wondering, if these flamingos cause the effects that they could cause within Russia, and there's already the Russian economy is doing what everyone said it was going to do by the end of this year, which is it's starting to plunge. There's now a major opposition figure that's kind of emerging against Putin. We'll see how long he lasts. And there's a lot of reports that the oligarchs that support Putin are really starting to wonder if this is worth it. They're looking at what's happening with the front lines. You know, this summer offensive didn't go really too far. The fall offensive seems to be just, you know, nothing but a way to cause casualties with the Russian soldiers. It is an absolute mess that's going on there. And so, you know, if you start seeing these cruise missiles hitting in and around and it feels like Russia or Moscow and St. Petersburg are no longer places that Russia can defend, that may change the political math. We shall see. Hey, thanks for listening to Strat. And please take, you can listen to this on stratpodcast.com. You can go to Hal Kimfer TV on YouTube. And of course, you can always go to my corporate website for global risk intelligence planning, gripsa.com. That's gripsa.com. Thanks for listening. And hopefully you'll listen to the next one.